BFM 89.9.
You're tuning in to the BFM Breakfast Grill, powered by U-Mobile. Introducing U-Mobile's Ultra 5G.
I'm Wong Xiaoning and this is The Breakfast Grill. Today is the last day K&M Group will be a publicly listed company after its debut on Bursa Malaysia back in August 2003. This listing was not entirely a surprise as it had been a PN17 company since October 2022 after its external auditors raised uncertainties over the company's ability to continue as a going concern. Their Group CEO and Executive Director Ravindra Singham Balasingham joins us to talk about why the delisting happened and what is their turnaround plan. So let's start at the beginning, Ravi. Why is a delisting necessary?
Mainly because without the delisting, we cannot get this deal done. There are provisions under the condition precedent which requires Bursa approvals and shareholders approvals which cannot be achieved in the time frame required to close this deal.
And let's talk about this deal. Why is this deal so important to K&M Group?
This is the best deal K&M has had for the disposal. In its history, at 270 million euros, nearly 1.3 billion ringgit, this settles most of the debt.
And this is the sale of Borsig, right?
Literally, the jewel in the crown.
Mm.
Yeah. Why would you want to sell it?
Yeah.
We didn't want to. That's why
in previous interviews with Tunku Yaakob.
We were looking at IPO.
Yes.
Yes, we were looking at IPO mainly because it's such a valuable asset. However, as it stands, since 2019, Borsig is under a ring fence by the German banks. That means any money Borsig makes, it cannot come to K&M, cannot be dividend up.
Which is why if I look at 2024 accounts, there's no contribution from Borsig, right?
From 2019, there's been no contribution.
Okay.
Yeah? And that is because the management at that time, they took a 60 million advance dividend from Borsig. And that was effectively a loan from the banks. So the banks moved in and did a ring fence. No further distribution until this loan is repaid.
Mm.
But then we went into financial distress. So ring fence has remained. And as a result, the best way for K&M stakeholders to benefit from ownership of Borsig is to glean the best price they can for disposal of Borsig.
Let's look at the chronological order of things that happen. Because what we have observed is, of course, headline after headline of what is a rather public spat between K&M, Bursa Malaysia and even MAA Group, which is the largest shareholder of K&M with about 20% stake. And this culminated in Bursa seeking a court order to stop MAA Group from calling an extraordinary general meeting to discuss this proposal to dispose of Borsig. Why did things get so ugly, Ravi?
We got our rejection on the 3rd of October from of our regularization plan, which meant that K&M couldn't go ahead and call the EGM themselves.
Mm.
And as a result of that, the deal stood to fall apart because our extended deadline with the NGK, our buyer of our DKNM Group, Borsig, was 30th of October. And so the shareholders stood to lose everything. And so this, as you rightly said, MAA first issued a notice, Section 311, Companies Act notice, to K&M to call for the meeting. K&M rejected because we cannot do it under Bursa MMLR regulations.
Mm.
As a result, MAA decided to do it as a shareholder. And that's what MAA did under Section 313 of Companies Act, call for the AGM as a shareholder of K&M. So that's what transpired.
Okay.
Yeah?
But if you look at Bursa's reasons for rejecting that regularization plan, they stated that there were concerns over the comprehensiveness of the plan and how K&M would be able to sustain itself even if Borsig was sold. Because if you look at K&M's Malaysia business, they say, not great. Order book, 2.83 million ringgit, with revenue insufficient to cover production overheads. And there was idle capacity in fabrication yards in Malaysia, Canada, Italy. But aren't these facts, though, at the same time?
Very true. Why is it the case? The industry we are in requires K&M to issue bank guarantees every time it wants to acquire a project. As long as we are unable to issue a bank guarantee, we cannot get a new project. Bottom line. So this has been made very clear in the REC plan. So what we have described is a situation where we will require a longer period after receiving the 100 million from the creditors through our scheme of arrangement settlement, to generate the turnover, the order book literally. Mm. So yes, Bursa has a point, but the point is as a result of the circumstances of the business. That's why when we spoke to Bursa, Bursa suggested we only appeal the delisting, wait for the cash to come in, and then submit a new REC plan. But for that to be possible, the deal has to happen by me meeting the condition precedents by end of October. When we realized that that was not possible, we withdrew our application and decided to go for delisting by November so that we can close the deal, get the funds in, and turn around KNM for the benefit of the shareholders, 33,000 shareholders, 450 creditors who have been very supportive throughout the last 3 years and have given us a fantastic deal for us to ensure a future for KNM.
So let's talk about that sale, because so much of it is contingent on the whether Bostik could be sold. And I think it's public knowledge that it's supposed to be to Japan-based and listed NGK Insulators. Mm-hmm. Now, the deadline for the close of the transaction was the end of October.
The completion of CPs.
Okay, yeah. CPs. And
condition precedents.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then final sale on the 15th of November.
The long stop date is about 26th of November, but we have an understanding with NGK that we will try and complete everything so that on the 15th, everything can be finalized and funds paid and everyone can walk away with what they came to acquire under the deal.
Okay, so what now has happened? Is NGK still willing to fork up 270 million euros for Bostik?
That's the contract. That's a SPA fully signed, fully in place.
Did NGK pay any deposit for this sale? Because the deadline has passed, you see. So, I mean, I'm sure, they walk away from this deal and say, look, guys, out of time, and it's such a legal mess, I don't want to get involved. Even though, to be fair, NGK is a very large conglomerate. 270 million euros is something they can afford.
Yes, they are a Japanese concern, and they're very honorable, dignified organization. If they were going to walk away and I asked for the extension from 30th of September to 31st of October, they could have done so. They have raised concerns on the resolution to be passed on the 30th of October because of Bursa's challenge. They said, Ravi, will this be valid?
Mm.
So when they raised such a concern, we responded by saying, okay, we will delay the resolution to be passed till 6th of September post-listing. So removing that concern for NGK. So the only thing now remaining is this resolution. With this resolution done, the CPs are all completed because once I'm delisted, I don't need any Bursa approvals. I don't need any REC plan approvals. So that's it. With this done on the 6th, there's nothing stopping us to close by the 15th.
When was your last communication with them? I'm sure, Robbie, that you have them on speed dial or speed email. I'm not sure how it's done.
The last one was the letter sent on the 31st of October.
Uh-huh.
And we are also going to, of course, with all this happening, I think we owe it to explain to our partner in the deal, NGK, what is the legal situation.
And have you heard anything from them? Because you sent them on the 31st, today is
the
5th.
Nothing yet.
Isn't that worry you a little bit, that they should reply at least?
As I said,
yes, we are in, we're not in, at least whisper in your ear, we're keen, we're not keen.
As I said, I've been discussing it with them since well before February when we closed the deal, when we signed the SPA. I believe we are going ahead and completing it on the basis that NGK, being an organization such as it is, has shown great interest in Bostik. Don't forget, they actually came in under our IPO track. They were going to look at taking a 10% cornerstone investor. It's after their due diligence, they realized what a major asset Bostik is.
What would be the net proceeds to K&M if Bostik does get sold for 270 million euros?
Literally, Malaysia will get 1.3 billion coming in, most of it to pare down the debt.
But isn't there debt at Bostik level? Nothing?
No. In fact, that's one of the negotiation points here, because I got NGK to waive all our intercomp debts. Mm. That means the money owing to by K&M to Bostik is also waived. It's part of the negotiation I had with them.
So you get the clean 1.3 billion?
I get a clean 1.3 billion with no adjustment.
So why do you think Bursa stood their ground? I mean, I understand they're regulators. They're here to protect the institution of the stock exchange.
Yes.
Right? They also are here to protect shareholders.
Yes.
So did you think that they could have been more flexible, or maybe do you now, on hindsight, have regrets going against Bursa, the regulator? Because did any lawyer tell you, hey, it seems a little bit like fool's folly?
Bursa, under the new PN17 administration process, requires an interim proposal before you can hold an EGM to approve a disposal like DKNM. And for K&M side, we have done so.
Mm.
We have applied, we were told to do it after we submit our REC plan. The very next day of announcing our REC plan on the 19th of August, we submitted our application for interim proposal. Bursa didn't give us the proposal. They wanted to deal with the whole REC plan. And then it got rejected. Then they requested we withdrew the first interim proposal application and submitted a new one. So we did that as well. And I wasn't getting any response. So you can imagine, okay, I'm K&M. The shareholders of K&M stand to lose here. They've already lost everything on their share price. And this is a last chance of securing some value. If the whole thing goes through, the 100 million comes in, nothing's stopping K&M once we turn it around. I'm not talking about a company with 3 years track record trying to get IPO'd here. I'm talking about a company with 35 years track record. 2019, the last year before proper operation of KNMPS Malaysia, it generated turnover of 262 million and a profit of about 20 million. Profit after tax of 20 million. It had 800 employees.
And today is a shell of itself.
It's a shadow of what it was, but it's a potential. If I'm still having EPCCs and owners willing to talk to me and give me projects, it's because of that track record. Yeah.
So can I ask post-listing, what is the adjective that most describes this delisting exercise? I mean, would it be sad, disappointment, angry?
Ideally, I would love to have had it listed while we carried on doing this. But if you do the pros and cons analysis, you realize, okay, why am I listed now? I'll be able to raise funds from the market. Given my current price, that is not possible. Being flagged at the PN17 means I won't be able to generate the revenue I can generate without such a red flag on me.
Mm.
Our customers will be more concerned with the PN17 flag on me. And moving forward, without listing, I'll be able to exercise all the turnaround strategies far faster. And if I can do that, I can look at relisting. K&M shareholders can consider relisting K&M.
Okay, we'll come to the future very soon. On the Breakfast Grill this morning is Ravindran Singham Balasingham, Group CEO and Executive Director of K&M Group Berhad. After the break, what is and is there even a future for this company? BFM 89.9.
You're listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill with U-Mobile. Introducing U-Mobile's Ultra 5G.
BFM 89.9. Welcome back to the Breakfast Grill. When the hot seat this morning is Ravindra Singham Balasingham, Group CEO and Executive Director of K&M Group Berhad. Now, I think we'll discuss the future, but I do want to ask you, what has K&M been doing since my last interview with Tunku Yaakob, which was back in October 2023? Because I get the sense, and I had a look at the quarterly numbers, and it seems like operations have deteriorated over a period of time. I mean, with just revenues of 6.4 million in 2025 or 2024, excuse me. I won't bring up 2023 because there were changes in accounting treatment. Why weren't the last 2 years used to turn the company around?
Without being able to offer bank guarantees when I go for projects, I cannot acquire turnover.
So PN17 is the reason why the company is in the state that it is.
PN17 means nobody, and our current levels of debt.
Mm.
We are a financial distress company.
1.3 trillion, right?
1.4 billion as of end of June 2025.
Mm.
Yeah. So, yes, I need to pay down the debt. I need to remove PN17 so that everyone can view me as a proper operation. This is why are our customers doing that? When they give me a project, the project is normally for about 18 months. So I must get my equipment in 18 months' time, not come to a situation where the company is no longer.
But yeah. I did look at the financial results in detail, right? And there's a whole list of corporate proposals that I think K&M tried to embark on from 2022. So you have the listing of FBM Hudson Italiana. You have the and FBM K&M FZ Co on yeah. Catalyst,
yeah.
which is the sponsored supervised board of the Singapore Stock Exchange that was aborted. There was a sale of Petromart for 12 million euro. That also failed. Then another buyer emerged for FBM Hudson Italiana, but that deal also failed. Ravi, I cannot help but see a pattern emerging.
Yes.
So what explains this list of failed deals?
All of this relates to one asset, FBM Hudson, which is in Italy. The reason is there's a local Italian government provision, Golden Power approval. FBM Hudson produces equipment which can be used in the nuclear industry. And so
that's back in fashion now.
Yes. So they are very concerned who the new owners of that asset will be.
Mm.
And even though the one of the failed proposals was Italian buyer, that's how the level of scrutiny by this agency. So unfortunately, we find it, we are trying our best. And since the last rejection, we have engaged with the Italian embassy in Malaysia, and we are talking to one of the agencies involved in the Golden Power approval process. And we have some guidance, but it's still no 100% assurance.
Do you say that the company was also maybe too tied up with boardroom battles? Of course, this is an old boardroom battle, right? With the German businessman Andreas Hieschen. I mean, did it distract management's time?
October 2023 started in September, expired in October. It was not welcome. Mm. It obviously not only did not assist with management time, it also scared away potential buyers of our various corporate assets. So we had to start from square one after that that episode. Yes. And don't forget, they came back again in the following year in during our AGM in June.
Are they still shareholders?
Again. The same hostile takeover group, yeah. And they failed again.
Are they still currently?
Very small holdings.
Okay. Coming back to your debt, the 1.4 billion, right? It's already been defaulted. But now that you're a delisted company, I don't know whether it changes anything in that the bankers are now a little bit more nervous. Are they furiously knocking on the door and serving winding up petitions to liquidate the company?
No, they are not. Don't forget this large number of creditors have been with us for the last 3 years. They know exactly what K&M is up to. There's complete transparency. And we cater for their concerns. So if you look at the arrangement we have, don't forget the deal with the creditors, if I can summarize. They are going to, in addition to the haircuts, they're only taking away their principal, no other interest, most of them. The secured creditors are taking their principal and only interest up to 30th of June 2023, nothing more than that. And that's a small
fraction. Maybe because they realize that if they wind it up, they'll probably get, nothing to the dollar or very little to the dollar.
It'll be far less.
Yes.
Yeah? But nothing stopping them from doing that. They were actually on the verge
time.
Of...
Time.
Yeah.
After a while, everybody loses their patience,
so,
including bankers.
They waited 3 years. And then, so the level of trust, why? Because, you see, they even in addition to giving us the 100 million... They're giving us a 5-year term loan for a deferred cash settlement for 200 million. That's their confidence in the future of K&M. For that facility, for the 100 million, we are going to be appointing a monitoring accountant so they can have a comfort of mind that the money is going to be used as we have agreed. The remaining is going to be all collected and all managed by a trustee, independent of K&M. Mm. So this level of trust between the creditors and K&M is made possible by the relationship we have developed.
Okay, so let's talk about the future, because I think that's important. The question I have, and I think even your auditors have, is can K&M still operate as a going concern, assuming whatever you want to sell, which is of course Borsig, for 1.3 billion ringgit, can K&M still operate as a going concern? Because there are also questions about your existing assets and what's the value of it, especially since much of it has been idle for so long.
Yes.
Will you be required to make even more provisions?
There will be. After taking all of this into account in our REC plan, you would have seen it from the announcement. The REC plan was actually announced.
Mm.
So it's a public document. You can easily see it. At the end of it, we are actually moving the company to a higher net asset per share. after everything done and dusted. And under the new PIDA, because we're going to do a capital reduction and consolidation, so the share capital will come down. And under that scenario, Bursa's requirement, regulation requires probably a turnover of about 14 or 15 million a year. That is nothing.
Can it be achieved though?
It can be achieved.
Because if we look at after, let's say the disposal of assets, be it the one in Italy, be it the one in Germany, and what you're left with is the process equipment fabrication business in Malaysia, right? And these are fabrication plants in Gebeng and Malacca. But do you even have clients, Ravi? After all, K&M is no longer a licensed supplier for Petronas. So how sustainable is this business model for K&M, especially when oil prices aren't very good at this moment? They are barely hovering above $60 a barrel. Okay.
So if I can take you back to the 2019 figures, 262 million, 74% of that was the export market, not local market. Yeah. Yes, we will work with Petronas to try and get that license fully back. At the moment, we can only do subcontract work for Petronas under the current situation. And why did Petronas non-compliant element? Why did that come about?
It was because
of the auditor's going concern qualification. So that will disappear once the 100 million comes in. I restructure K&M. All of that is academic after that.
But is it easy to rebuild your reputation, K&M's reputation? If I'm an oil and gas major and I'm looking at oil prices at $60 a barrel, I know many of fabricators out there, their yards are probably not going to be super busy. Why should I give you, K&M, a job rather than another fabricator that has delivered? If you can't get that part of the business going, it doesn't matter if you sell Bossik.
35 years of history.
So you're hoping that history repeats itself and that...
Not history. That means that's a traction we have in the market. Mm. Yeah, for me to have attracted 65 million in turnover, given my current situation, it is as a result of the 35 years. Yeah, otherwise I wouldn't have attracted that level of turnover. I didn't get it mainly because of my inability to issue the BG. Yeah,
and these are your...
And this, the latest one was 2.5 million in August this year. I'm also talking to others. I don't want to speculate because I want it to be in a reasonably advanced state before I can tell you, we got this order potentially coming. It's very easy for me to sit here and say all the ones I'm talking to, some are very major, but I cannot divulge at this instant. I'm still a listed company.
So do you see K&M as a viable company in 2 years' time?
I honestly believe so. This is a fantastic asset. It's a homegrown talent. We should be fighting helter-skelter to save it and grow it.
Although some shareholders and bankers might be a bit wary of that, but...
Probably what is good is what happened on the 30th of October. All the shareholders voted to adjourn when I requested this of them. And the chairman, Tengku Yaakob, asked for adjournment. Everyone but one voted for adjournment.
On that note, thank you for your time on the Breakfast Grill this morning. Was Ravindra Singham, Bali Singham, Group CEO and Executive Director of K&M Group Berhad. I'm Wong Shaoning, BFM 89.9.
That was the BFM Breakfast Grill, powered by U-Mobile. Introducing U-Mobile's Ultra 5G, the next generation network for Malaysia.